Hi, my name is Bryce Watts.
I'm Allison Anger.
This is a podcast where we speak exclusively to the women in the NFL to learn about how they navigate this life in the league. The players are always the ones in the spotlight, but we want to highlight the amazing women who are their support systems behind the scenes.
Get out the way, men.
Welcome back to NF Ladies Podcast. We're on episode 9, and today we have special guest Miranda Ross with us today. Hi, Miranda. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. And you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks. Happy Friday. This is being recorded on Friday, but everyone's going to listen on a Thursday, maybe a Saturday. Who knows? But to get us started, go ahead and tell us who you are, who your significant other is, how you guys got to be in the NFL, and what team you are currently with.
So I'm Miranda Ross, and my significant other is defensive tackle Quinnen Williams with the New York Jets. And we've been with the New York Jets for 2 years, and we've only been in the NFL for 2 years.
So have you guys been together dating his entire NFL career?
Yes, we have. We started off in college together. We met in college, and then around the time we were both leaving college, he was getting drafted and I was transferring. He just decided to pop the question and then we're here.
Awesome. I'm so jealous. I love the excitement of draft day. Can you go ahead and tell us, like, what was that like going through that experience? Like, I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety and also excitement all involved in that, but share with us your story.
Draft day, fly out. A lot of fans, you know, you're getting pushed out the way for autographs and pictures. And it was just an amazing, like, moment, like, for him. And just to watch him, like, get ready and, like, live out his dreams, everything he wanted growing up, like, it was just, like, a bittersweet moment.
So was he one of the guys that was, like, physically there?
Wait, can you go into that a little bit more? I mean, you're the first one who's actually physically been there, like, you're saying you're getting pushed out of the way. I had that experience in college, but it was just like little boy fans. And yeah. I'm like, I'm getting pushed out of the way from my boyfriend. Like, this is my boyfriend. Why are you pushing me out the way? So go into depth, because we have no idea what that's like.
I mean, it's just like, it was in Nashville. It was a lot of like fans outside. I mean, inside it was a lot of fans too. Of course, like the only way you could really be inside is if you were family or friends of the draftee. And like, I don't know, it's just like a lot of lights, cameras, actions. Like, it was just overwhelmed, but in a good way. He got the opportunity to sit back in the green room and get the phone call from the team. And then he walked out on stage, because obviously the guys are already knowing where they're going by the time they get ready and walk out on stage. And it was just such a great moment.
Yeah, that phone call, I think it's funny that most people realize who they're going to go to before. We've had some friends who were like, I had no idea. Like, they just changed their pick. But that is such a crazy thing. Like, even being at home, like, you're just sitting there and you're stressed and you're watching and you're like, okay, what's going to happen? It's just like, it's like a lot of waiting, but a lot of excitement, anxiety at the same time.
Like, yes.
It's fun. I feel like that's really indicative of like how the NFL is just as a whole. So it makes sense. So you said you guys met in college. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys meet? Give us the story.
Okay. Well, we both attended the University of Alabama, and like I would see him like every now and then on campus. You know, we've seen each other. And then like I found out that like one of my best friends, who was like my brother in college, like that was his roommate. And like I used to be there all the time. Like he had like this 3-bedroom suite. And like since I was off campus, I would usually spend a night over because he had so many extra other bedrooms just so I could get to campus, you know, quicker. Don't have to worry about like the chaotic parking scheme and everything. And like I never knew the whole time like he was in the next bedroom over. Like it was just like, you know, like I'll see him sometimes, we'll just speak. And then one day, like, so at Alabama, like the football players, they try to recruit other people in high school to the football team. And luckily his recruit ended up being my cousin. So one day I seen my cousin at cookout and he was there with my cousin. And then like, it just kind of all like went from there because he didn't know like that was my cousin. So it just worked out perfectly.
That's so funny how it works out like that. What is the, I mean, what cookout? Is it like a cookout where they bring all the recruits? It's like a yearly thing.
No. Cookout is the name of like this franchise restaurant / fast food. It's like a McDonald's, but it's like way better. Like the food is better. It's so cheap, like their prices, but it's just like the food's better. Like, and if you're in college, you know, you don't want to spend a lot of money, but you also don't want to eat McDonald's every day. So cookout was like the next best thing. Like you can get your hamburgers, your corn dogs, chili cheese fries, milkshakes. Like the milkshakes are bomb. So that was kind of like the meetup spot.
So talking about the prices, how much of a shock was it when you first went into New York City and a cocktail is $18 for a teeny tiny little thing?
And then tax on top of that up here, like it's crazy. Like it's definitely a culture shock, like from everything, the prices, weather, clothes, like, and then like certain stuff, like the shoes are, I think, tax free. So anytime you usually pay up north with like cash, people are willing to just give you the base price instead of like tax included. So that's one thing that I do like about up here, you know. So
that's interesting. And I mean, we can go into a little bit later. So you started your own business with fashion. So you know all the ins and outs and like the tax stuff. I'm like, I had no idea. How would I know they don't put tax on shoes paying with cash? Like, I don't ever carry cash.
You never like had the opportunity to like come up here and like literally go to any store and buy a pair of tennis shoes or anything?
No. Really? I told you we're stingy, man.
I promise you. If your shoes are like $59, you think when you get to the register, there's going to be like plus tax, but they're like, no, it's $59 even. Like that's all you pay.
That's so nice. Like it's a little thing, but it's so nice. Like what you see is what you get. You don't have trust issues with the prices anymore.
Right. Like that. Sometimes I thought it was because like, no offense, like a lot of New Yorkers walk. So I'm like, I guess they know they need a lot of shoes maybe, and they don't want to add the tax on the shoes because they're going to buy it anyway. I don't know. That was just like my theory.
That's pretty good reasoning. I never would have thought of that. But so why is it that they do that? Do you know the real answer?
I don't know, but I think once we end this today, I'm going to look it up and let you guys know.
I'm super curious now. Right. So speaking of prices of things in New York, you guys recently bought your own home?
Yes, we recently bought a condo, not the forever home yet. It's just the condo, just getting started, you know, getting our feet wet, trying to see like the things we like, the things we don't like. So it's just the two of us. So we just got a condo, not a house.
And that's good because it's hard to take care of a whole house, especially when it's just the two of you and that's all you really need. Like why have to take care of all this extra space? So do you guys know, or have you talked about like where you would want to make your home base during the off season? Like if you could choose anywhere to live, where would that be?
So for right now, we just purchased property in Atlanta, Georgia. So that is like our home base. Like once the season ends, this will be our first time doing the transition of living in one place during the off season and then living in New Jersey for in season. So you know, I don't know too much like of how it's going to feel yet, but I think it's going to be pretty exciting, like being able to live in two different states throughout the year. You know, most people don't get that opportunity. So to do it, I'm very excited. But if I could live anywhere, I think I would try out Houston, Texas. Never been there, but I heard like nothing but great things about it.
That's really funny because Bryce and I are both in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
Not particularly by choice. It's a great place. It is a great place to live. I'm coming from Florida, so that's a hard place to leave. But I will say Houston has everything you could need or want. They have it.
Especially when I see the little different things on like social media and stuff, and they like compare like a house in California compared to a house in New York compared to like a house in Houston. And it's like Houston always has the biggest price for like the like not that much, you know? So
yeah. We looked a little bit in the Houston suburbs for a while and I was like, oh my gosh, these places are mansions. No state income tax here in Texas. So that's good. Yes. Yeah. Big jump from New York for sure.
Yeah, I remember every time Chad would get his paycheck and be like, look at this. Do you see how much they're taking out from taxes? I was like, yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot when he was in New Jersey. And now he's like, no state income tax. I think it's also Florida. So Brian kind of lucked out with both. Florida and there. Because they were the Tampa Bay Bucks before. So
yeah, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So of the three teams, he's been in all teams that have no state income tax. But how crazy is it? Have you guys seen how when you pay taxes at the end of the year, they send you like I don't even know what you would call that thing.
The breakdown of all the states?
Yeah. So you like every time you play in that state, you pay that state's taxes.
I think you're talking about like a W-2. They usually like
all the separate W-2 forms they have to fill out. That's crazy.
Yes,
like you did not want to play all three California teams in one season.
Hello. I think that's the worst part about like being on like the Jets probably is like how much taxes they take out. Like it's not even affecting me, but like to see it come out of his, I'm like, wow, like I don't know how he does it. Like it's crazy.
It is. It's hard. Even though we're in it, it's still hard to wrap your head around just like the amount of money and then how much you have to pay on top of that too. Like other people don't understand it. And I feel like I'm living it and I still like, I don't even understand. It's insane.
So I didn't realize that you guys were so new to the league. I feel like I watch college football as well. So I've probably seen him then. That makes sense. But you guys are pretty young to be owning your houses, both where you guys stay for season and then off season. That's amazing. How did you guys go about figuring that out, deciding that you want to do that instead of like we've had ladies say, I mean, we're doing this too, renting apartments or something like that, furnished apartments. So it's a little less commitment because we have commitment issues, we've said on this podcast as well. So how did you guys decide to go into home ownership or condo ownership?
Well, like I got previously kind of stated, last season we thought that we wanted to live here full time, especially with me trying to hurry up and finish my degree, and I transferred to a school up here near the facility. So we tried to do it year round, and like we really like hated it because like the north is new to us, so we don't really find much to do or things to do, so we're pretty much bored, and then we don't have any family. So this season we decided to move back home, and since we know like he's fresh in the NFL, we're like, we need a forever like area so most of our things can stay there, and when we come here we can bring like a smaller amount of like clothing and items to make traveling at the end of the season easier. So we decided the location, which was Atlanta, Georgia, and then like we went on to see like, hey, should we like lease a place again or should we just like buy flat out? And like I came up with the idea of just buying like a condo flat out because I'm like, all right, we're 2 years in and there's no telling how many more years we have to go. So if we sit here and like pay rent or, you know, whatever every month, like that's going to add up. And by the time you're ready to like purchase a forever home, you didn't pay like almost nearly half of like what it would be to actually purchase it flat out. And I'm like, this is a start for us, like having an investment. Like, so if we buy this property, think about like 5 years from now when we're ready to like officially buy a home, we can just rent this condo out, and then like that can pay for like maybe utilities or like the upkeep of the new home. So like I kind of think on that side since I run a business, like I'm always like trying to put numbers together and see the best way to save things and what really makes sense in the long run, because like I've always researched a lot, and like a lot of wise people say like you should have investments and you should own property or land, you know, and that's how you keep a steady income coming in.
And I'm sure Allison could speak a little to that because they just bought some property in Florida.
Yeah, right. We kind of did the same thing with each house that he's bought. One, instead of selling one, we decided, you know what, let's just keep this one since you own it, and then we'll buy our house and rent this one out. So then we do have like a constant steady income, even during the off season, or if you happen to go into free agency. But then also like you're just building your own business for after the league. If you can, you know, build up those rental properties, then you already have a business ready to go as soon as you choose to retire. But go ahead and tell us about your business that you have, how you came up with the idea, and what it is.
So I started my business back in high school, and I was just like obsessed with like different cute, comfortable clothing pieces. So I kind of named it after myself in a way. It's called Miranda Couture. And like you can, it's couture with a K. So it's MirandaCouture.com. And like, I just sell like comfy, trendy clothing pieces from like loungewear to sets to tops to bottoms. And I fell in love with it. So like, I really love my business in a way. So I kind of put my all into it. So that's how I got to where I am now. And like, we're constantly growing like each and every day. If I can sit back and tell you guys like how I started to like where I am now, to having like inventory on hand and working on getting a warehouse, and I have different celebrities like wear my pieces each and every day. Like, I really like say I love my business with pride, you know?
That's amazing. I mean, in saying that, you're looking at different celebrities who are also wearing your pieces, it's also helping you grow your network, and you become familiar with more people, especially being in the NFL. You already have that built-in network, which is amazing. And it's really cool that you're talking about investment properties, because you guys just got into the league. And I know first rounders, I know there's a lot of money in there. There's a lot of with draft bonus and stuff in there. And the fact that you guys are investing it already 2 years in, you have your own business, he's doing his thing, you guys are a multiple income household, and that's super amazing and very smart. And you're in school as well doing all this stuff. So how's school been going?
School's great. I started off as a nursing student and I was nearly almost finished, but then like once we kind of got deeper in the NFL, I learned like nursing like wasn't my passion anymore. It was more so the business side, especially like this is around the time my business started, you know, taking off. And like I just ended up changing mine to marketing, just because like I have so many connects in the business world right now, with him being signed to Young Money and like so many other big name people. So like right now I'm an undergrad in marketing, and I'll be done next January.
That just sounds like so much to manage. We were talking before the recording of this podcast. I'm getting up at 8 and like, oh, this is so early. It's like, no, it's not. 8 is when people get up. This is a normal time.
Right. It's all about discipline, you know, like especially if you're able to get a little workout in. Like if you just put yourself on a set schedule, it'll go that way anyway. Like I usually go to sleep around like 8 p.m. at night, and like I'm up at like 6:30, like without even setting an alarm. So it's definitely all about discipline.
Yeah, and when you have a goal in mind, you're like, I gotta get this done. It makes it a lot easier.
It feels better too when you can get up super early and just knock out everything you have to do, and around like maybe 3-4 o'clock, it's like, all right, cool, I finished everything now. We can go play, you know?
Yeah, my brain works like that, but I'm not in that lifestyle or that phase of life right now. But prior to being an NFL wife, I was a elementary school teacher. So in my head, I'm like, day is over at 4 p.m. Like that's when like, my work should be done and I should start relaxing and doing whatever I feel like doing. And then I have like this weird rule. I don't like to do any work after dinner time. So like, no business. But also, especially now with it getting dark earlier, I don't like to call people after dark. Like my mom's like, oh, just call them right now and ask them or tell them this. And I'm like, it's so late at night. And she's like, no, it's not. It's 8 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to call someone and bother them right now. But I'm like, am I a grandma? Is this normal? Like, what has made me think this way? I have no idea. But I definitely like everything to be done before dark.
So I just thought of this. I didn't write this down beforehand. So you guys went to school in Alabama. You guys have your property in Atlanta. And during the off season, you were down there during all when Black Lives Matter blew up. I was in Newport Beach and it was still, I mean, you know, all around the world, it was getting so much recognition. How was being in the South, the Deep South, during that time? How was that experience?
It was it was different for me. Like, it was, as with us being so young and us growing up, like, that's something like you think you would read about in your history books in class, but to actually like be here to like live and see it, like, it was like, it was mind blowing, especially like when, you know, the riots and stuff were breaking out. Like, that was even different to see. And like, I was like so scared about it that we literally like drove up to the beach and stayed at the beach for like a week because it was like bothering me emotionally. So like, I just kind of escaped it for a moment and we just went up to the beach. So like, once we came back from the beach and we seen like a lot of like damage and everything that was done during the process, and like, me and Q would just like sit at home and really talk about it and like what we think like the world could do to like, you know, do better in ways and stuff like that. And like, obviously we had different point of views, like I'm sure like a lot of people do, but that was very like touchy, you know, it was new.
Yeah, definitely for me opened up a lot of conversations with people, a lot of emotional arguments, and just sitting on my bed thinking, just like you were saying, like, it's super emotional because my dad is Black and Japanese, so coming from a side where I'm mixed, and like, there's that thing where there's also some type of identity crisis with people who are mixed as well. You know, you had the one drop rule and now it doesn't even matter if there's one drop, and you know, so it's like finding your own identity in it too. And being emotionally connected to it was such a weird experience, but I'm really glad that it opened up the conversation and it's made me try to be more intentional with the things that I do. Open up on this podcast, even open up the floor for every type of woman in the NFL. Be conscious that, okay, like we've had the same, not the same person, but the same ethnicity on this show, not intentionally, but saying, okay, I need to go out of my way to do this because there isn't a lot of representation over the internet. Like, I'm looking at TikTok too, and it's TikTok too. It's very one demographic of people. So you have to be intentional with it. It's not like you're trying to do this, but you just gotta sometimes like actively push the other way. So I think it was a super emotional but enlightening thing for me as well.
Did you find that, like, did those emotions continue as football season started? And I feel like coming out of all, like, with quarantine and all the Black Lives Matter stuff happening, and then it was like, okay, well, are we even going to have a football season? And then football season starts and we find out, okay, it's happening, and you feel like the world's starting to try to get back to normal, but then all of those conversations continued in the football season. I know at least like within our team it did, and I would assume with every single team, because it's a conversation that should be had. But did those emotions continue? Like, were they like brought over into football, were, like, with different meetings and stuff happening and just having it talked about a lot, I felt like. And did that, do you feel like it was like a positive outcome from all of it?
Those emotions did transfer over to football, and I can kind of remember like some of the conversations, like, because meetings were virtually, so like if he's home, I can literally hear like what the coaches are saying and talking about. So they like used to like really like talk about it, and they would want the guys to like voice their opinions, but most of the time they wanted those conversations to happen in person. So they would just ask the players like, hey, can we get like 10-20 minutes out of the day, because we really want to see how you guys feel, and like different stuff like that. It was certain things that, you know, some people said that I didn't agree on, but I can also understand, like, it's hard for you to like say things when you've kind of never experienced it in a way. And I kind of really had a serious talk with Q about that before, because I'm just like, you know, you never really got to experience what a lot of people are out here fighting for. One, because you have the title NFL behind you, so people automatically like put you on a higher pedestal, so you never really had to go through it. But I was just like, you know, think about like my brother, or think about like your brother, and like the things that they may have to go through, like coming in contact with law enforcement, and it's just being like, and it just goes south, you know, like. So once I had those type of serious conversations with him, he started like taking the whole Black Lives Matter thing like totally different. And he was like, you know what, you're right. Like, if I wasn't in the NFL, like, I could really relate to what was going on. So he went and voiced his opinion at the Jets, and they ended up like not even practicing for a day. They just sat down and came up with different solutions and they put it out on media, and like I really respected it on a whole nother level. So we really take like matters like that very seriously.
And that's a really good point that you made too, if you weren't in the NFL. And I feel like that's across the board for NFL players. If you were an NFL player, maybe they wouldn't listen to you, or the fact that you are an NFL player, you have this platform. People are like, why would you listen to athletes? Well, you are. So, you know, use that platform for good. And just the fact that they, like, the fans love watching our men on Sundays, but then maybe off the field, they're like, don't care about you so much. They like it when it's entertainment. These boys are men are entertainers, which sounds weird, but if they're on the field, those guys are like, they're gods. But off the field, you know, sometimes it's not always like that.
I agree. That's a great point.
Side note, maybe not, I don't know, but the NFL's doing the My Cause, My Cleats games coming up. What cause is Q going to be repping on his
cleats? We've actually been talking about that around dinner time for like the past 2 days, because like I already know, like, if he was actually participating in it, he would do breast cancer, because like his mom passed away from breast cancer. So like he's very in tune with like breast cancer. Like we go to different societies and stuff, and he speaks and, you know, talks to everyone, tell them his story. And like last year we went up to the one in New York, and he actually surprised someone who overcame it. And he surprised them with like the Super Bowl tickets and a signed ball by him. But right now he's actually like trying to find someone that can help him do the My Cause, My Cleats. So we're actually not participating in it, but if he could, that's definitely who he would go with, is breast cancer.
And that's what I think is also so important about us being on this podcast and asking different questions that reporters don't really ask. Obviously on the field, they want to talk about football and stuff, but rounding these men out, rounding the women out as people, and realizing, okay, it's not just the game day outfits. Maybe like we're posting cute pics, but it's like, I don't always do that. I don't always look like that. It's fun, but there's other things that we do. We are full people. You got to have some character development here, you guys. And that's what the NFL gives you. And I think it's really important to make it known that we are also people. Like we aren't just what you see on a page, what you see on Instagram. And that's across the board for everybody though, because Instagram, you know, those poses will be tricking you.
It's all about the angles. Yeah.
I'm definitely guilty of it too, but I also post the ugly ones too. Or like I'll post something on my story. I'm like, y'all, this is what I actually look like posing this picture. So don't get it twisted.
Agree. And like what you were saying, like we're definitely people like outside of the whole football people. Like I really feel like we're such normal people. Like I live such a normal life. Most people probably wouldn't think so, but like I told you earlier, like I don't eat breakfast all the time. Like my life's not perfect, you know, like we still have to wash dishes, you know, like just your day-to-day things, like nothing really changes when like you're genuine. When you're a genuine person, nothing really changes. Like the money doesn't change, you know, like, so.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring this up too, because you just had a birthday.
Yes.
And I saw your pictures, and you know, you saying you're a normal person, like the pictures look so beautiful and gorgeous and glamorous. And you're like, that's one day. And the next day I'm like, all right, back to the books. Like, let's do this.
I promise you, like on my birthday, I literally had like 3 finals that I crunched so I could get ready for this birthday dinner that I like threw myself in a way. But I promise you, I was stressing out on my birthday. It took 3 finals back to back, and then I took a nap, you know, right before the dinner, because like you need a nap after taking 3 exams. And I actually overslept and woke up 30 minutes before our driver was outside to go to the city. So I promise you, like those pictures are really like a one day thing. Like, and that's kind of how social media is. Most of the time, most pictures that you see people post on social media when they're all dolled up, they don't actually look like that at the moment. I even do things like that with my business. Like, you go have a shoot day, you sit there and take all different pictures, different clothes, different poses, different makeup, different hairstyles. And then you sit at home, you know, with your pajamas on, hair in a bun, and you're posting like really cute pictures. And people think like, oh, she's looking like that every day. But the truth is, like, you're not. Because I can't even do that. I cannot get cute with makeup on 7 days a week. I really tops off to the women who can, but I cannot. I cannot at all.
I do the same thing where, like, we have a roommate and he's like, you didn't do that today. Like, you were at home all day. I was like, I'm a fraud. I'm telling you, I am a fraud. I was like, I'm going to post this. I'm going to post this. I mean, shoot, you got to keep it interesting and entertain yourself some way during QT.
No, I was just going to say, I have no backup photos to post. So I just have had like absolutely nothing on Instagram since football season started, because I'm just sitting here doing absolutely nothing, nothing interesting at least.
So talking about apparel, I scrolled through your Instagram and your game day outfits are on point. Do you make your own game day outfits? You got a different one every time. I'm like, I got to step it up. I want a new one every time. Like, tell us how you look so good every game day.
Honestly, like we were just saying in our previous conversation, this is how it started. I'm bombing because I'm in school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Saturdays, I'll get a little study in on top of like slaving, getting him ready for, you know, football on Sunday, trying to get him out the house. So it's like Sunday, I wake up in a home that's clean by myself. So I'm like, okay, it's time to like step out and get cute. So that is literally the one day of the week I can honestly say like I'm trying. But most of the things, like, I don't know what to call it. I guess I'll say I'm an outfit saver in a way. I'm the type of person that I'll buy something in January and be like, oh, this will look so good for the season. So I don't wear it like none of those months. And then boom, on a Sunday, I'll wear it. So people like really think I go out of my way, but I promise you, like, I have a million outfits in my closet. That's like, once I buy something, I'm already like putting it in my head. Like, this is for this certain day. Like, even Q can vouch for me. Sometimes like I'll go and get like certain shoes or whatever, and I'm like, this is a game day fit, or this is an airport fit, you know, and I won't wear it until that day. But most of the things I have, like, for game day, sometimes I make them myself. Sometimes people send me stuff to help with their businesses, and I like try to do my best on promoting it. And I don't know, that's just like literally the day that I take a lot of pride in, is Sundays. You know, everybody wants to see like, how are you going to support your guy in a way? And I love those moments, especially when we were able to go to the games. This year, I kind of like haven't done much because I've only been able to go to one game to be there, but I love Sunday outfits.
And I love looking at them. It's inspired me to be, and I'm like, I need to go extra. Like, and I remember thinking, I have a friend here, and she, this is her first year, so she just wears the jersey and like jeans or something. And I look at my old pictures, I was wearing a jersey and shorts. And now I'm like, I'm wearing boots, I'm gonna get sparkle letters on. Like, I am ready for the whole thing. And you talking about getting your game day fits ready, they're very supportive of your man. They're not just, you know, you could go out to the club afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, you're repping, what's his number?
95.
You're repping 95 head to toe. And I'm sure he loves that, seeing you like, whoa, screaming before the game.
Honestly, like, that's why I take pride in it. Like, because he just feels like I'm supporting him on another level. Like, he'll really be like, wow, you have hairpins with a 95 on it. Like, that's deep. So with me doing stuff like that for him, honestly, it makes him so happy. Like, I promise you, he's to the point now where he tries to give me ideas. He's like, well, can you do this? You know, add this. Like, I literally sit around here. I have hats, headbands, scarves, pins, Barbie pins, like jerseys blinged out, shirts blinged out, shirts ripped, shirts bleached. Like, I can go on and on and on. Next year, I might do some jumpsuits, but you know.
He's out here like putting pins in your hair and stuff. He's like, hold on, let me get you nice and fitted.
Loves it.
I love that. And I remember, so when Jenny nominated you, she was like, they have the cutest relationship. Yesterday we had to postpone because you didn't have headphones. You go, my other half put the headphones. I'd be like, my guy put him in the car, like he left him there. Like, just the way you talk about him, the pictures that you guys post, you have a very it appears on Instagram, you know, that you have a very cute and like loving relationship. So do you guys bring that off the field? You guys could like still play with each other, mess with each other? Like how's your relationship?
Our relationship, if I could describe it as one word, I would just say fun. Like, I feel like I found my best friend, and not only is he my best friend, he's like my soulmate. Like, he's like the guy version of me. Like, if I could be a guy, it would be him. And I think if he could be a girl, it would be me. So, like, everything goes hand in hand. Like, we're just, it doesn't matter who we're around, like, if the moment's serious or not, like, we just always find ways to just have fun. Like, every single day, like, he can come home and we'll just start a water balloon fight, knowing we're not supposed to, like, waste water all over, you know, the furniture and stuff. But it's just, like, whatever. Like, it's all about having fun. Like, every single moment, I think we laugh, like, a million times of the day. Like, right now, he's in football meetings, and I don't know if y'all see me, like, looking left. He's really annoying me. He's, like, taking pictures and just stuff like that. So it's really, like, fun. I guess it's always fun.
You're each other's biggest hype man.
Yes, 100%. Like, he puts me on a pedestal and I put him on a pedestal. Like, on Sundays, I know it's Q's day, so we support Q. And, like, honestly, like, Monday through Saturday, he makes it about me and, like, supports my business and, you know, help me study and things like that. So it's all about, like, balance. Like, a lot of people, like, see when I post things on my story, I'm always like, you have to treat your man like a king, especially, like, because he treats me like a queen. So it's not just a one-way street where, like, the guy's in the NFL, so, like, he only, like, buys, you know, things for his girl and do this and that for her. Like, no, it's like a 50-50 thing. Like, he goes out for me on, like, my birthdays. I do the same for his birthdays. Like, I want him to feel what he's giving out. You know, everyone growing up, you always want somebody to give you something that you're giving out. So that's kind of like how we like do things. So very childish in a way too, like, but it's so fun. I think that's the best thing. Like, you can't be serious all the time, I promise you.
That is so cute that he's like that. I feel like I'm constantly like trying to, my guy is more chill and Brian's a little bit more chill too, and I'm the like, like, it's 8:40, I'm about to walk outside and be like, what's up guys? So I feel like I gotta give that energy, but like the fact that he gives it back to you, and like you said, Monday through Saturday hypes you up, your business, helps you study.
Look, yes. And like what you were saying, like there are a lot of chill people in the world. And sometimes we really try to play the chill role, but then we're looking at each other like, what are we doing? Like, why are we trying to, you know, be someone we're not? And like, he'll even go to the facility and like, I don't know what it is. Like, some people may think like, oh, we're just still puppy love and stuff. Like, even when he's away, like we're on FaceTime because like we're each other's best friends. You know how you talk to your best friend all the time? Like, he can walk out the house right now, go to the facility, and like we're already on FaceTime, and you can hear the comments from like his coaches and players. They're like, dang, you can't even leave her alone for 10 minutes. And we're like, it's not even like that. Like, we're friends. We have so much to talk about all the time, so much to joke about. And he jokes with the guys on the team. Like, he's just very, very playful. And, like, one thing about us, like, no matter what we're going through, we stay happy. Like, that's kind of, like, our house rule. Like, no matter what, you stay happy because we have, like, a million other things to turn around and say I'm blessed for. So that's, like, our little motto. No matter what, like, happy. Rainy day, happy. You just lost it all, still happy. So
it's funny that you guys are kind of like the same person, because like Bryce said, like my guy's chill and we're more opposites. Like, we have all the same interests, but our attitude and energy is just opposites. So it's a different vibe, but still, like, yeah, he'll be like, I have to go. I have to get to work. I have to leave for the stadium now. And I'm just like talking as he's walking out the door. And I'm like, I just have to get this all out. What I should probably just be like, okay, go. And then call him when he gets in the car. But I'm just like chasing him out to the car, trying to finish my story.
Yeah,
so, I'm going to take your advice. I'm just going to be like, okay, bye. And then FaceTime him immediately. Like, well, this is actually what I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key to it. I don't know if he's like super like have to be on time for everything, you know, like, because Q's super crazy about that, because like the team hotel is like literally like 40 minutes away from where we live. So he's always like, he's like a overachiever, and I think that's what makes me such a great person. Is like, he has some nice traits. Like, he's just so like I didn't really know discipline until like I got with him, like, and that's how I got on his sleep schedule I was telling him about. But he's such an overachiever. Like, if he has to be somewhere at 8, like, he's already heading there at 6, because he always says like this saying that when you're on time, you're late, but when you're early, you're on time. So,
and for listeners who don't know, people are not aware that if these players are late to any meeting, they're going to get fined. So it's not just like, oh, a little slap on the wrist, you're 5 minutes late today. Like, no, it's going to cost you a lot of money if you show up late.
Exactly. And it's not fines like $250 or $100 or $50. Oh, no. No, we're talking about commas, you know?
Yeah. So. Commas, people.
I remember too when Chad was on the Jets, and he's been to different teams. He's like, nobody fines like the Jets. They love their fines over there at the Jets.
If I could have a printout of the things, like I said, he's a great person. Like, he's not one of those butthole players or anything like that. Like, and he has like a list of fines, and like, you get fined for like farting in meetings. You get fined for like, if they feel like you say anything like assaulting like a different race or gender or anything like that, it's another fine. Like, it's just, honestly, it's kind of things that's silly, but in a way I guess it makes sense, because it's supposed to be like a business, place of business. But you get fined sometimes. I feel like you get fined if you blink twice, so they get fined so much.
I know no one asked for my opinion, but I think there should be a fine for wearing jewelry on the field.
Oh,
that is dangerous.
I think I know where you're going with this, but yes.
This is a safety hazard, okay? If a dancer or a cheerleader cannot wear earrings on the field, I don't understand how these guys are playing with all this jewelry on. Like,
yes, especially in like middle school and high school. Like, I was playing volleyball growing up, and we got fined for wearing simple studs. Like, you couldn't wear nose rings. Like, you couldn't even wear the little scrunchies or the hair twisty ties, whatever people call it, like, on your hand. And that's a fine. So,
I know. And crazy. Then you guys are out there wearing like the most expensive gold chains with their jerseys and shoulder pads that are
watches.
I mean, it's cool, but this is not the place or the time. And I'm concerned for your neck.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
I thought, I think watches is a fine, right? Because OBJ did that, like, yes, to make a I've point a couple years ago. Yeah. Because you're going to knock somebody in the head. I mean, they got helmets on, you know, but.
That watch was too expensive to be wearing out there. Anyway, I would have fined them too. Like, wear that when you get off the field. Yeah. You know, like, don't do that.
If something happens to it, you just find yourself. Now you got to pay for it. Like, this is why they don't ask us what we think.
Exactly.
Like, we don't want your opinion. Okay, well, you're going to get it. You're going to get my opinion.
I have a question, which this is one that we have on, like, everyone's list, but we haven't really been asking it. But I'm interested in your answer, being, you know, a girl coming from the Alabama football team. Mm-hmm. Do you watch football on your own? Like, are you interested in football? Do you like it? Do you watch other teams on Sundays when he's gone?
I love football. Like, even if he didn't play football, this would still be a football household. I grew up as a little girl, like, having my dad and brothers. So, like, Saturdays and Sundays were footballs. We had, like, different, like, watch parties on Saturdays and Sundays. Saturdays for college, Sundays for NFL. And, like, I just grew up really liking it. So, like, when it was, like, and then my high school that I went to, we were a big, like, football team there. And then, like, after I left them, I went down to Alabama, and, like, that was just fun, actually being a student for a winning team. So, like, you get to talk all the trash you want, and, like, going to national championships. Like, football's still going on in January for us, you know? Like, it was amazing. So, like, to meet a guy who, like, plays football, and, like, on Sundays now when I watch it, I'm able to say, like, that's my guy out there. Like, kind of does something to me, like, kind of puts me in my feelings a little bit. And I always ask him a question of, like, do you feel like who you are? Like, once you're off the field, so many people want, like, pictures and autographs of you. Like, do you actually feel like you're a celebrity or whatever? And he'd be like, no.
Growing up, you said you watched football on Sundays with your family. What was your team that you would watch? or cheer for?
Sundays, we were forced to root for Dallas Cowboys because that's my father's favorite NFL team. But I grew up like wanting to go for the Atlanta Falcons. And then now I'm here at the Jets. So
I know. I just think it's funny because I feel like everyone grows up cheering for a certain team and you don't plan your life to be married to one of the players. And you're like, oh, well, now I'm a fan of this team. but you, so you're from Atlanta, Georgia? Is that right?
No. We're from Birmingham, Alabama. But Atlanta, Georgia is like the next biggest city within like a normal, like it's only like 2 hours away. And like, we just both love Atlanta so much. Like if you come from like where we're from, like the city we're born and raised in, it's best if you just like branch out and go farther. You know what I'm saying? So that was kind of like our place. Like it was a mutual place. We both loved it. So that's considered home for us now.
2 points. I love to hate on Alabama. I'm sorry. I just do. Y'all win way too much. I'm like, no. Every year. I'm over it. I'm sick of it.
And beat everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it was like the Patriots. You're like, okay, they won again. Boston fans are crazy, blah, blah, blah. So y'all are the Patriots of the college, of college. Two, do you guys have this issue where you're saying that your dad's a Cowboy fan and you want to be an Atlanta fan, but you got to be a Jets fan? When people ask you, what's your team? You go, well, right now it's the Jets, but I grew up with the Falcons. My dad's it. And then they're like, why do you have three favorite teams? Like in different divisions than you, it bounces around. I have a certain vested interest, like without being like, yeah, my guy's on the field. Cause it changes, you know, your favorite team changes when he leaves. Do you guys have that issue?
I have that issue like a lot because like you catch me wearing Jets apparel like more than usual. Like I'll usually just have on like his hoodie or his shirt or something all the time because it's right there. We have so much Jets apparel. So you just grab it and wear it. And like I'll go to the grocery store like down south with it on. And like people are like, you're a Jets fan? And I'm like, unfortunately, like the circumstances, yeah. I'm like, my guy plays for the Jets. Because the first thing is like, oh my gosh, like they suck. How are you a Jets fan? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, I'm not, but I got to say I am.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you, right?
That's funny because when I was with the Jets, it was kind of the same thing. It was like, you know, you got the diehard Jets fans. I feel like that's the older generation and the Giants are a little bit younger and they're like, ugh, why do you like the Jets? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have to. It's like a year thing.
You were not the Jets like how they are now. Like I think we're like 0-11.
We're not going to talk about that. We're going to save that for the boys. The boys in the comments. We're going to go to more fun holiday stuff. We have a holiday edition for you. And this is going to be interesting, too, since you have your own business and your apparel business. I think your answers are going to be a little bit different than the other woman. So, are we ready, Allison?
Okay, Miranda, we're going to ask you some holiday questions here. This is only your second year in the league. So you guys, I'm sure, are just starting to build some traditions together. But I know with him playing in college, like holidays have already kind of been centered around football for you guys, but now just being away from your family and friends, it's good to think about these things as we're like getting started and building homes away from home. What is your favorite holiday movie to watch?
I actually think it's something like Polar Express. I don't know why, but I really like that movie. Like I'm really into it when it comes on, you know, so that's definitely probably like my favorite holiday movie.
That's a good choice. I remember seeing that one in theaters and the animation is just unreal. Like it creeped me out at first. I was like, how is this like a cartoon, but they look like humans? And now when you watch it, I'm not so freaked out. I'm just like, this movie is genius. That's one I would show in my classroom every year. It's a good one for the kids. They love it. What is your least favorite Christmas song or holiday song? Doesn't have to be Christmas.
I don't think I have a least favorite. I really like listening to like just different Christmas music, especially like putting up Christmas decorations. You just go on like Pandora and like put in like the little Christmassy thingy. Like I really like listening to it. It's just so joyful and like it's the most wonderful time of the year, I think they always say. So, yes.
That's funny. Both people so far have said they listen to music while putting up their decorations.
That's a family tradition. Like you have to do that. There's no putting up Christmas trees and getting Christmas spirit without listening to Christmas music.
So like what playlist would you pick? Like Christmas pop songs, like the classics?
I would say a mix because I like the Christmas songs like everyone would usually play. Like I was just saying, the most wonderful time of the year, that song. And then like I also like the Chris Brown version of like his music song, you know, the Mariah Carey. So just a mix. Like I'm not really picky. I like it all.
And your favorite holiday dish? Can be something you make or something someone else brings.
My favorite dish that I make is my sweet potato pie because Quentin hypes me up and he's like acting like that's the only way he can like play football and function around this time. Like literally last game. Well, I think it was last game. I had made the sweet potato pies for even Thanksgiving. And he was like, he just went out there and balled out. And he kept telling everybody on the sideline, like, yeah, I'm balling out because I got sweet potato pie when I get home. So he hypes my sweet potato pie up. So I would definitely say sweet potato pie.
Do you and your man buy each other gifts for the holidays?
Well, last year edition was like our first like real like, okay, we're in the home together, we're buying Christmas trees and stuff like that, Christmas together. And like last year we had this rule because like we just get to the point where like we just like being together and enjoying the actual holiday. It's not really about gift giving. So like he had this thing growing up because he was like one of four kids. They used to do like you can only choose three. You get three gifts. So like, that's it. Like you better write down the most three that you want. So like we did that last year. So like he got me three gifts and I got him exactly three gifts. And then like, that was it, you know? But like this year is a little different because like now we're like, all right, let's not get each other anything just because like, it's not much that I want. It's not much that he wants. We just literally want to enjoy the holiday. Like this year is totally different because we just bought a property and we moved into like a place up here that, you know, is small and stuff like that. So like, we're not even probably going to put up a tree. I think I'm going to sneak and go buy one today, but for the most part, I don't think we're going to do it. So like, I think we have an understanding this year that we're not going to like give gifts to each other. We're going to give gifts to other people as far as like doing gift cards for different families back at home and stuff like that. So it's more so about giving to, you know, others, like the less fortunate, and so they can enjoy Christmas and stuff. So, and that makes us happy. So,
well, if you're gonna go buy a tree, you need to make up your mind quick. And I say this from experience because we did that last year. Oh, we're not gonna get one this year because we were just in an apartment and we didn't have like the tree stand, the lights, we have to buy all of it. And then it's like, we're only here for 3 months. What do we do with it afterwards? So, we're just like, no, we don't need it to make our holiday special. But then we ended up doing it. So would you go for a real tree or a fake tree?
I would definitely do like a false tree only because like, I know I'm not going to have help bringing a real Christmas tree or finding a real Christmas tree. Like he's going to be like, what is this? Only because we grew up with fake trees because you can reuse them every year. So like we would definitely do like the fake trees 100%. They come pre-lit and everything now. So
so that's what we ended up doing. Brian's a total real tree kind of guy, but we waited so long that when we went and looked at them, the real trees that were left were just not in good shape and they were still so expensive. And I'm like, on top of this, we have to buy a tree stand and the tree skirt and the lights. So it was just going to be so much cheaper to just buy the pre-lit fake tree. And I'm like, you know what? And if we end up having to go to a different team, we'll give this away to someone when we're done. But we're still in Houston, so we got to keep it and reuse it. So I was like, Brian, what a 2-for-1 Christmas tree. 2 years, one tree.
Right. Lucky you guys. We had like this house and we just like moved out of it like October and like we got to the point that moving was becoming so stressful. So like we had literally just bought this Christmas tree last year along with so many decorations. Cause think about it, we had a house to decorate and like we literally knocked on our next door neighbor and was like, everything's yours, like the brand new Christmas tree, the ornaments that go on it, like just so much decorated. And now I'm like wishing I would have kept it because now I want to like get some more. So lucky you for keeping it.
We had to pay for storage. But what is the favorite gift that you have ever given someone?
My favorite gift that I got someone was obviously Q, because I go above and beyond for him. And like I got his car sent up here from down south and I wrapped it because he's big on like this particular car. It's like a Hellcat. It's like most guys are into it. I'm not really into like cars like that. And I got it wrapped for him and gave it to him the other day for his birthday because his birthday was coming up and he like started crying. So like I feel like I did a really great job. So that was like one of the best gifts I got.
Was this like a new car or like his car but he left at home?
A new car.
Whoa. I mean, I would also be very emotional if like I had left my car in Florida and then Brian just had it shipped here for me. I'd be very happy about that. Re-gift my car.
Yes, because he would always sit and watch YouTube videos on like people like ramming the engine with the car and like doing donuts in it. So I was like, well, what's a better birthday gift than to get the car, get it wrapped, and basically pick you up from practice in it? Because I dropped him off that morning and he was putting up a big fuss because I'm never on time picking him up. So when I picked him up in the car, he was just like, he just bawled out. He was like, no way. Like, I can't believe you.
Miranda, showing up and showing out. Okay, if you guys were to throw a Christmas party, what would the theme of your Christmas party be?
Winter Wonderland, for sure.
If you were to throw a Winter Wonderland party, you would obviously have to go get some more decorations. Or would you hire someone to come in and decorate for that?
Decorate myself, but I would probably have to like reach out to other people for specific like pieces I would get. Just like, I don't know, I try to go above and beyond when I do stuff. So I would need like ice sculptures and things like that. So I couldn't make it myself. I tried last year, but it didn't work out. Because I'm the type of person, I like trying to do everything myself because off topic, but I got an ice sculpture last year for his birthday because I threw him a surprise birthday party. So I got this big ice sculpture and it was a cue. And like, I tried to make the ice sculpture myself, but it didn't work out. So I had to like, obviously buy some, I mean, pay someone to do that. But for the Winter Wonderland party, I would definitely, and I would try to get some sort of like kind of real snow. I know it'll melt. So the place had to be a little cold, but I don't know. I would have to try to figure that out, but I think it'll be nice. You know, like the snow effect, like it's coming from the ceiling. I think that'll be pretty cool.
That's what I was imagining. So I was like, I feel like her Winter Wonderland party would be legit. And I don't really know if she can do that or if she needs to hire someone for help. So I have to ask, where do you even begin to try to make an ice sculpture yourself in the shape of a cue?
Best friend on learning how to do things is YouTube. You can almost do anything and it's where you want to do it. You just YouTube it. Like, I remember like I learned about how great YouTube was for sure. And I knew I wasn't the only person that felt the same way because the summer before his first season here at the Jets, like, I'm like, all right, so what are you going to do about a trainer? Like, you know, most guys need trainers, or at least this is things I hear. He was like, YouTube. He was like, I'm a YouTube how to train for the football season. So I kid you not, he used YouTube to prepare for the first season in the NFL. He was like, anything a trainer can teach me how to do, like, I can YouTube it. And I'm like, I feel you. Like, I do the same thing when it's time to learn how to do something. I promise you, YouTube is like your best friend.
YouTube training for the football season. That is probably the most creative, probably YouTube search I have heard of. Okay, we've got one more holiday question here. One word that best describes the holiday season for you.
Can I use two?
Yeah, it's your episode. You can do whatever you want.
I don't know, maybe three. Three good ones. Okay, happiness is definitely one. Everybody's usually happy around the holidays for many reasons. Like, you get to see your family, friends, like, loved ones. Like, it's the best time of the year. I would say giving, like, because usually, like, even if you don't cook for a holiday, you're usually, like, bringing things over to another family, you know, to contribute. Or, like, around Christmas time, you're, like, just giving. And then, like, the third one I would just say is just, like, blessed. Because there's not a lot of people out there that could really enjoy a holiday, because they're either like their loved ones isn't there anymore, or they can't afford to like really do the things they want. And just, you just really think about like how blessed you are around like, especially holidays.
So we've talked all about your start with the NFL, your draft day experience, buying a house, owning a business, managing your relationship and time. You seem to be owning all of it like a total queen. That's my summarization. What would you say has been your overall experience in the NFL so far?
My overall experience is like meeting different women and learning about like their different relationships with girls, like attending Bible study, attending the events, like having the different networks with people you probably never thought you would have. Sometimes you do get the better end on the stick when it comes to a restaurant being booked up, and you just use that NFL card, or just being invited to the Super Bowl for many events and traveling. Traveling is a big one in the NFL. You travel a lot, I would say. And just overall, I think it's just one of the best experiences ever. Like, just even on my end, not even playing in the NFL, but like being attached to the NFL in a way. I think it's major. It's major.
And if you could give advice to a rookie wife or girlfriend just coming into the league, what would that be?
I would say remain humble and remain true to yourself, because there's going to be a lot of people you meet and a lot of moments you face where you're going to feel like you need to be someone else besides yourself. And I would say don't do it, like, because the NFL doesn't even last long, so don't do it. Say yourself.
Okay, and at the end of each episode, we've been having our guests nominate someone who they think would be great to share their story on the podcast. So is there anyone else that you can think of right now who you would like to nominate to come onto our show?
Yes, and I think I want to just go abroad from the Jets. I would go to the Chicago Bears and nominate Allison Gore.
All right, Allison, I will be DMing you, so look out.
Thank you for listening to episode 9 of the NFL's podcast with our guest, Miranda Ross. We'll talk to you next week. If you like this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us 5 stars. Our music, called Not Ready Yet, is written, produced, and sung by my friend, Kira Grove. Again, my name is Bryce Watts.
And I'm Allison Anger.
And we'll talk to you next week.